it's January.
Oh, was that it counting us in?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay. I just feel like it's different every time.
It is different every time.
And so is this show. Welcome back to Smell You Later.
Your favorite podcast about podcasts. Your favorite podcast about how two people who don't know how to do podcasts do a podcast.
I disagree with that. I think we're very good at doing this podcast.
I think we are too, actually. Sometimes I listen to podcasts and I'm like, what are you doing? No, I'm kidding. I always listen to podcasts and I'm like, this sounds great. I'm not a hater. We took a little break at the beginning of this year.
I mean, we skipped 1 week.
It's fine. There's nothing going on, man.
It's January.
Bro, it is 20 degrees outside. It is brick.
It truly is.
It's not pleasant out there.
No, and my ass is always, I'm from the Midwest, haven't you heard? And even I will say, this is not it.
No, but thank you.
It is. It has been an especially cozy fragrance season because I've been absolutely soaking myself in every vanilla scent that I can.
I feel like because of you, all of my front runner scents now are all vanilla based.
That's fucking right.
And I'll be like, which vanilla today? And I'm like, say, well, they're basically the same. It doesn't matter.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, as we've said before, and I actually have something down the line about this, but you know, we are still firmly seated in the vanilla era. So it's not just me, but it's always been me.
I do feel like the gourmands are starting to pop off. Mm-hmm. I saw that Diaz and Durga released peanut.
Oh, wait, you have that.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Let me grab it. Okay. Yeah, you told me about peanut a while ago when you visited the lab. And you said it was actually really nice and pleasant. So I got the PR blast about that and was happy to see that it's coming out. And even happier to see that you have a vial. Peanut's just such a cute name.
I know. I always think of it in a term of affection.
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, can I put that on?
Yeah, put it on. I think if nobody told me it was peanut, I would not have guessed that.
Okay.
It's not like you smell like a literal peanut, but it has that same... I feel like it's like the twin to pistachio.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know. We were talking about wanting... Let's just get right into it, girl. We were talking about pistachio and weird gourmands that we want. I'm like, let me dry down. And I guess we are starting to get them now, which is cool. Yeah. And I'm happy that this came from Diaz and Durga, who obviously did pistachio.
I wonder if they sold out. I think they said this was a studio drop.
Ah,
they only did
me.
150 bottles.
Really?
Dropped like Monday?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was a studio juice, but I wonder if they will bring it back like they did pistachio.
They might. This one feels like fully cooked, though. I remember when it was like a little intense, and then the re-release was a lot smoother.
Yeah, agreed.
But this one feels pretty fully cooked. It doesn't say it's sold out, so it's still on their website for 50 mls.
How much? Sorry, 350?
250.
250.
Yeah.
That's not terrible. It is.
Yeah. It's actually, it's pretty nice.
It's got a lot of depth to it.
It's really like a dry hay.
A what?
Like to me, it smells a lot like very like a Western cowboy-y kind of dried hay.
Yeah.
Cedar.
Yeah.
Very cedary. And yeah, it's like dry grasses.
I hate to ask, but does it list the notes?
Yeah. Top notes, husks. Heart notes, peanuts. Base notes, fields.
I'm so fucking sick of them. Tell me what's in the goddamn scent, please.
Honestly, it's probably just a lot of like chemical words.
Sure.
That we don't know.
Yeah. You know, you're right. It's dry. Oddly really,
it's husky.
Yeah. It's like, you get peanut, but you get a lot of wood. And I feel like
okay. So now that I've scrolled down, it says from the website, I'm assuming David wrote this because it's in the first person. I took an accord of peanut, expanded it with soft strokes of gourmand notes, earthy tones, toasty woods, a grassy vetiver. Okay. I do get the vetiver.
Yeah. I feel
it's nice.
Yeah, it's you get peanut, you get wood, and there's something at the base of it, and they're not similar, but it's calling me right back to Byredo's Mumbai Noise. Something really deep and grounding.
Yep.
That really pulls the fragrance down in a way. It's wow.
I'm sure there's like maybe there's a little patchouli in there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
Peanut's great. I hope they make this permanent.
How funny would it be if like someone's, oh my gosh, she smells so good. What are you wearing? Peanut.
Yeah. And it's nice to, because we know that they don't historically do gourmands. This is a really fun, or that's not so much true anymore, but it was. Yeah. And this is a fun convention to do it in.
I agree.
You know?
I feel like they've done pistachio, obviously.
Yeah.
Deep Bistro Waters, they billed it as like a vegetal gourmand, but then the question is, are vegetables gourmands?
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, I think no. In the literal sense of the word, perhaps yes.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's trying to smell like a tomato now.
Which brings us to
yes.
From the Vine? From the Garden.
From the Garden.
By Margiela Replica.
Yeah.
We both received this.
We both got it.
Okay. Have you worn it?
It's nice. I haven't worn it on skin.
I have.
Because I don't want to smell like a tomato.
You might.
Really?
You might. Yeah. So my journey with this is I saw From the Garden and I was like, another floral scent? Count me out. And then I read and I was like, oh, this is a tomato scent. Okay. And then I was like, I want to smell like a tomato, but do I? You know what I mean? I wore it on skin, I think, last Sunday. And it's really good.
It is.
It
okay.
is really
I'll give it a shot.
Good. Not to state the complete obvious, but it's a great summer scent if you want to seasonal it. I don't know if that makes sense. But
seasonize. If you want to season it.
Yeah. So it's one third tomato, mm-hmm. one third really pungent green broken vine.
Yeah.
Then one third citrus.
Mm-hmm.
It is really vegetal and has, I'm not going to use the word bitter, but pungent, I would say. That pungent
it's got,
green.
Yeah,
note.
Like a crisp green.
And then really juicy citrus to yeah. really balance it. And it is a sweet scent, but it's not sugary sweet. It's citrus sweet, natural mm-hmm. sweet, something.
Yeah. It's like a green citrus.
It's a yeah, but green forward. It's yeah. really nice. If this is what we're doing, which I am all for it. It's a really nice way to do it on a mass scale.
Yeah. It reminded me of the Boy Smells candle, the herbaceous candle.
Yeah.
That smelled like a tomato vine.
Or Flamingo Estate.
Oh,
people
right.
go crazy over that tomato scent. What's that?
The Flamingo Estate hype, I don't get it. Mm. What do they do? What is that brand?
Flamingo Estate. Do you know anything about it?
I know they have the tomato candle, but that's it.
Okay. So Flamingo Estate is an actual estate around LA. I think right yeah. outside of LA. I think it's... Don't quote me on this. I could be... some of this will be wrong. I know that it's a venue. Oh. I don't know if it's like a members-only club or just like an event space or a bar, but I know it is a physical location. It's really beautiful. And then they started their own line of essentially everything.
Oh.
So they do soaps and they're like a lifestyle brand.
I would always see influencers posting a box of vegetables,
mm-hmm.
like a produce delivery, and there mm-hmm. are like these really beautiful vegetables and they're like, thank you. Oh my God, from this state. And I'm like, so is it like a CSA kind of situation?
No, you're right. Your first assertion was right, that it's just like for fun rich people.
Lifestyle.
How rich people have fun. Yeah, I got an email that was like, Flamingo Estate exclusively launches the Kelly Wurstler honey. And I was like, I've never seen
what
a darker
fuck?
Subject line.
Who and what?
I know. But all that to say, I was actually going to ask you, would you be... This is an off the mic conversation, to be clear, but would I... Okay, because the... tomato scent is going so crazy, and then yeah. they just released Petrichor, which is I think they're trying to find their scent lane, and
okay.
I think they're
doing like natural,
maybe
from
succeeding
nature scents.
Yes, exactly. I wonder if you would be interested in having them on the show.
It depends.
Tell us in the comments if you yeah. want us to have Flamingo like, Estate on the show.
I think it depends on the angle.
Yeah.
I need an interesting angle other than, so you're a brand.
No, I completely agree.
So you're a brand. What's that like?
But it's just interesting to see. They've been kicking this brand around for a while, for a couple years, and doing, you know, the body and the hand and the this, yeah. and then to see them leading to fragrance.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like because you're so keyed into the inner workings of brands,
capitalism.
Your brain is so attuned to all the nuances.
Sure.
And to me, I'm just like, so you're around.
I'm choosing What's to that? Take this as a compliment, yeah. and I know it is. But
no, you basically, I'm just saying you think about these things a little bit more deeply than I do.
Sure. No, I get it.
And I'm like, so you sell stuff.
that is the thesis of Smellulator. Me being about strategy and you being like, why?
Yeah.
Can I get water? Sorry.
Go get water. Yeah.
I've been meaning to ask you. I was going to text you about it, but I felt like the day I was going to text you, I felt like I was texting you down and I was like, leave that woman alone. I'm forgetting
I'm
that.
I'm not doing it. You know me. I'm not doing anything.
I know. Also, we're best friends. Do you have any feelings about Renee Rapp?
The actress/singer?
Yes.
No, I do not have
okay.
feelings about her.
I only ask because she sounds like someone who would come up on one of your playlists that I walk in and
yes.
you're playing.
Yeah. She does. Mm-hmm. I do some of her music.
Yeah, same.
But as a figure?
Yeah. Oh, I
don't
know
care.
Shit about her.
Okay, yeah. It's just... like just pop girl music.
I made the choice,
uh-huh.
and I say that from the most neutral perspective, of seeing the Mean Girls movie musical.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah. As much as you can like Mean Girls 20 years later.
Yeah.
And sitting in the theater being like, God, I was in the theater the first time. Like, this is really real. There's a lot of ways that they could have fucked it up. And it was a really nice, just like retelling and the whatever. It was fine. But Renee, it was just like so captivating. So I was like, let me listen.
Well, she's an actress and a singer.
Mm-hmm. And she was Regina on Broadway, which I did not know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think right before the pandemic.
Oh, okay. I don't know these people's lives.
Yeah, I found out
I didn't
about
even
her.
Know she was an actress. Right. And then someone was like, she's on that HBO show, The Sex Lives of College Girls. And I'm like, I didn't watch that.
Didn't even know that. Anyways. Glad that's settled.
Yeah.
Well, you introduced me to my 2023 stan, or the girl that I stan in 2023, Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, you would have gotten there on your own. I'm sure you would have gotten there on your own. I didn't have to meddle much.
Okay, that was a read.
She's good.
She is good. Oh, she's good. Listen, yeah. Queen of pop.
Yeah, I like her stuff. Again, I was like, didn't know anything about her. Had no idea she's also a Disney act. I don't know.
Something.
Everyone's a something, man. Everyone's from somewhere. It's exhausting.
I know.
God. Going back to our brand strategy conversation, I feel like I've been having an existential reckoning about just how much consuming I do, which is a lot. I am a throw money at the problem type person.
Hello.
I'm like, that's what the money's for.
That's what your 30s are for.
To solve your problems.
Yes.
But then lately, I'm like, I don't need this shit. But beauty especially is just a hyper consumerist. Mm-hmm. Do we say beauty culture? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do more editorial work.
Sure.
And luckily, a lot of places I want to write for want me to write for them, which is great.
That's great.
But I was like, bro, I have nothing to say. I don't want to write a review. I don't particularly feel strongly about anything to write a review, and I don't think they would want to accept the types of essays I write.
It's hard.
Because
it's
just hard. It's not very optimistic or anything. I don't know, but...
It's that. Hmm. I completely agree, but it's also from a more shallow standpoint, even if I did want to do a lot of that stuff, which a lot of it, to be fair, I do. There's just, to your point, there's just so much right now that it's like, so what's the point?
The tone of beauty coverage, like editorially even... Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking such and such celebrity is transparent about their plastic surgery, or like all those weird TikToks where it's like, here's what I think like Lily Collins has gotten done.
I hate that, yeah.
Those aesthetic speculation videos. And I'm like, what is the point of this? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Why do I care what a famous celebrity has gotten done to ostensibly enhance their opportunities for getting more work?
Me taking notes.
Yeah, but
and I'm sure you'd agree, but like that, I would put that in a different category than like beauty editorial.
True.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just like, are we ever exploring beyond that?
No. Yeah, that, or also, I feel like we just gotta stop asking the question. You know,
because
we're never getting the answer. We're never gonna get the fucking answer about what Jennifer Aniston does to her face, and like, it's none of our business.
That's true.
It was last year, I think, and this is no shade to the writer because I really liked the profile, and I don't even remember what publication it was, but I remember liking it and liking the writer. But someone profiled Kim K, and I don't remember how the question was asked. Me having no facts about this, and me still running my mouth, but. Long story short, she asked her if she's ever gotten work done.
Oh, okay.
And I think Kim said...
She denied it.
She was like, I've only ever gotten Botox. Mm-hmm. And then the internet lit up. And I'm like, why would you
Wasn't
ask
Wasn't that a lore?
Kim? It might have been, actually.
I think it was a lore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, why would you ask Kim Kardashian that question? What answer do you think you're going to get? It makes everyone look
stupid. I think it was a lore, and I think it was Daniel Pergament, that profile.
Okay.
She was the former executive editor at Allure for a long time. Who's very old guard in like the magazine world. Oh, so it's like, of course she's going to ask that question.
Yeah. But I'm just like, it makes the publication look stupid. Frankly, it makes the writer look stupid. And I know she's not. But it also makes the reader look stupid. I think it just puts all of us like...
It reminds me of like the early aughts interviews where people like Barbara Walters was asking Britney Spears if she got like her boobs done.
Who cares? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just I appreciate the transparency, but it's never going to be transparency. You know who are really chopping and screwing their face in Hollywood? The men.
Finally.
Ask the men the questions.
And I've done this too when I've gotten filler in the past when I was an editor. So they would just throw that shit at you for free.
Yeah.
Sharing the process. But now I'm looking back on it and I'm like, yeah, I can get the curiosity angle at the time. But I guess now because it's so ubiquitous now and we're at like peak saturation, I'm just like, okay, cool. Everyone has work done.
Mm-hmm.
What next?
Yeah. Fine. But it's sort of like the moralization of asking the question is sort of like, I don't think that made any sense, but like the, you know, putting it under the guise of transparency.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Can we just,
Ban transparency. I think we need to gatekeep again.
Ban honesty.
We have to go back to gatekeeping things.
Like, I don't want
to
fucking know.
I don't want to know what I don't want to know. Okay, that was a tangent. But I also remember somebody had sent me a reel that was a red carpet from one of these freaking award shows that just aired.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation celebrities have during the commercials. And it was a conversation between Emma Stone and Jennifer Aniston. And they like hug. Maybe you saw this. And then Emma Stone's, oh my God, you smell incredible. And then Jennifer Aniston says something, but the camera doesn't pick it up. And then Emma Stone's like, and you smell like this all the time, which is such a funny thing
to say.
That's
so funny.
Now I'm like, damn, I really want to know what she wears.
I know.
Just out of curiosity. I wonder if it's her own scent. It might be her own scent. But that's like the only transparency I give a shit about with like celebrity
stuff.
That's
true.
Like,
I do.
What perfumes do you wear?
Deeply want to know what everyone is wearing and what everyone smells like.
I know for a fact you probably get all of your beauty products for free.
Yeah.
That shit's just thrown at you.
Yeah.
So who cares? But I know you picked that.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of beauty editorial. Mm-hmm. Kara sent me this morning, and I am fascinated by one of the picks. The article is from Allure, written by a friend of the pod, Jen Hussein. The 14 best vanilla perfumes that'll make you smell like a literal snack. All of the picks are good. They're all like what you'd expect. Like,
any outliers?
Are great. Yes. The best overall is the outlier.
Wow.
I would love to think of a spicy way to introduce this, but I think the best way is just to tell you the best overall vanilla is Chanel No. 5 Eau de Parfum.
No.
Right?
Absolutely incorrect. What the heck?
I don't know. All,
what the heck?
All respect to Jen Hussein, the Most High. I would love to understand how we got there. You know? You know what, though?
As someone who used to do these galleries and edit these galleries, there are no rules. Yeah. It's chaos reigns.
Well, I mean,
it's whoever you want to pick. Throw an advertiser or two in there. Sure. And then it's just dealer's choice.
I appreciate her opinion. And if that's her truth, then I celebrate it. But I feel severely different.
I also disagree. But to each, there's something.
To each, there's something. Some other call-outs. Best floral vanilla was Bond No. 9 Greenwich Village.
Even? What?
That's,
no.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't really classify that as a vanilla. Best true vanilla perfume, Tom Ford Vanilla Sex. Fine.
Okay,
I'd say Kaoli, which is also on the list. Best sweet perfume, Dior Vanilla Diorama. I would disagree. That's so musky to me.
Yeah.
It's very vanilla, but it's not the sweetest to me.
It's not.
To me.
It's a little boozy.
To me, it's just vanilla and musk. I like it better on others than I do myself. Best overall beauty TikTok, Kaoli Vanilla 28.
That I could see, yes. That tracks.
And then I'm only calling this out because I'm sitting across from you. Best spicy vanilla perfume, Yves Saint Laurent Black Opium Eau de Parfum. Yep. And then one I'm really happy to see on the list and anywhere. Mm-hmm. Best warm vanilla parfum, Francis Kirk Dijon Gentle Fluidity Gold Eau de Parfum. Love.
I do like that
exquisite.
One.
Exquisite. And then, also sniff. Never mind. I do not think of Chanel No. 5 as.
It's like a floral aldehyde.
It's just aldehyde soap. Times 10.
It's a bar of soap.
It's a bar of soap. It's a bubble bath.
All of those beauty roundups are truly dealer's choice. I know because I was assigned one by InStyle.
Yeah.
It was like luxury perfumes that are worth the splurge.
Who was your editor at InStyle?
Lauren.
Lauren, duh.
Yeah, yeah, love her.
Yeah, yeah, slay.
But truly, I was like, anything I want. Because I'll ask her, I'm like, are there any caveats or any brands or something you want to highlight? Yeah. She's like, nope, up to you. And I was like, damn.
I love that. What did I just do one for? We'll never know. But I just did one for Fashionista, and they needed a lot of picks, but there was no...
What's the categories?
It was... Yeah, they wanted me to break them out by category. So it was just I think, I don't know, best for perfumes for fall, perhaps?
It's like so next subjective.
Season? Yeah, it is. But that's good, though. If I see even a roundup, like, I think I want to see it from someone's perspective.
Yeah, even like the worth the splurge, I'm like, that's subjective. What do you think is expensive?
That is
because
true.
I feel like the benchmark for luxury fragrances is like $160 to $250 for a Byredo or a Decent Durga or a Lalabo, but it can go up to like $500. So what is a splurge? I don't know.
A splurge to me is anything over two, I think, or one. I don't know. $150 perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
I think starting at one. I expect to see like...
$150 for 50 milliliters?
Oh, I can't get into the numbers, girl.
Small bottle or big bottle?
Small bottle.
Okay. $150 for small, I think, is a splurge. Yeah. If it's $150 for 100 milliliters, I'm like, okay, that's like
a lot of juice. Sure. Yeah. Anything, I think, anything period over 150, I'm like, all right, we're getting into the expensive category.
Yeah. I've been scouring Alibaba.com looking for perfume bottles, stock perfume bottles. The scent I'm allegedly making. And it's crazy out there. But I was just like, what is orb shaped?
Yeah.
All the orbs. And then I thought about it because they have minimums. I was like, wait, how many fucking bottles am I making? And how I like have to think about this. I'm like, how do I price this? Like, how do people price these things? I don't know. What's considered appropriate?
How many are you making?
I think my perfumer said 300 bottles, but I was like, what size are the bottles?
Yeah, true.
Big bottles or small bottles?
Yeah. Would you consider just asking the question to ask the question, doing more smaller bottles, doing like 1,000 smaller bottles, 500?
Probably 500 smaller bottles.
Sure. Just curious. I just
feel
considering
like
demand.
Under an ounce doesn't really make sense to me. It would have to at least be 30 ml.
What are, like when you go into Sephora and you get the like little vials, what are those?
Those are 50.
50.
The standard smaller bottle I feel like is 50.
Wait, no, the travel size. Sorry.
Oh, they're 10.
10.
Sometimes they're 7.5 though, but generally about 10.
Okay, do that.
I could do that. I don't think I want to do
that's
that.
True.
Just as like a experience, but it's all this shit that I didn't think about that I'm like, oh, I have to think about packaging. I have to think about this stuff. And I'm like, this is why I don't want to have to do this again.
Fair.
Unless it turns out incredibly successfully, and then maybe I'll think about it. But until then...
I get it. If we could partner with the brand, so we were doing every step of it ourselves, I think that is huge value there.
It's always these things I think about where I'm like, how do proper influencers do collab products? They get contacted by an incubator, and then all those people...
Yeah, exactly.
Damn. Imagine having collaborators.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'm allowed to talk about this.
Can we check, please?
I did check.
Did you check?
They didn't say anything about an embargo.
Okay.
And even if they did, who's going to stop me? But I smell like a word I will probably misspeak. I smell like Memoparis Cappadocia. Cappadocia. I hope it's Cappadocia. Cappadocia. It is their newest scent out February 1st, and it is a saffron. Not a bomb, not a saffron bomb, but a lovely saffron pouch.
Lovely saffron pouch.
It is a lovely, soft, creamy saffron, and I am obsessed with it. I say as I've just sprayed it on this morning because I just got it today.
Yeah. But
obviously, anytime there's a new scent that is saffron, I'm like, gotta smell that.
Right.
But they've never really, they've never exactly met my expectations, but this is actually extremely saffron. It smells actually so much like the saffron Gili pasta from Burano.
What?
Yeah. It's like that soft, creamy saffron.
Can I smell it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's billed as an ambery and spicy fragrance, but I'm not really getting spice. I'm getting like a soft, creamy warmth. Yeah.
I agree. I think there's an undercurrent of spice to it.
Yeah.
Me having smelled it one time.
An amber and spicy fragrance. Saffron is the keystone of this composition, magnified by the petal softness of the flowers as well as creamy woods and resins. I'd say that's accurate.
It's really pretty.
Yeah. Key fragrance notes. Saffron, sandalwood oil, myrrh resinoid. It's the myrrh. Anyway, it's so lovely. I love so many of Memoparis's fragrances.
You do.
Even the ones that I'm like, not for me, I'm still like, wow, that's a really good scent.
I would agree with that. I am excited that this, I know that their leather franchise does well. Mm-hmm. I'm excited that this is outside of that.
Yeah.
There was one that they sent me that I really love. I mean, I really like Cintra, but that's sort of like marshmallow cloud vibes. But there was a leather one specifically. I think it's Italian leather. I don't know. They sent me something and I was like, all right, let me put
that in. I really love the Irish leather. One.
Yeah.
French leather I like as well. It's a little bit classic rose leather to me.
Okay.
But I do really like the Irish leather one because it's like a muff.
Maybe the one I loved was Sicilian leather. I don't know. I'll figure it out, but I really enjoyed that.
And I love their Inverness, which I think was previously their newest one before this one. But this is so good. Cappadocia.
It sounds familiar to me, but I can't place it. Is it just that, the memo?
Is it what?
Am I just thinking of the memo one? Yeah.
It's memo. Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
That's their one that's like very irisy.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyway, this is really lovely.
Yeah, it's great.
It's not overbearing and it's not heavy, but it's very light and warm and it has a sort of creamy translucence to it.
Your usage of creamy is like spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I really love that. They only sent me the like tiny
I know.
Sample.
Usually, it's I say it till I'm blue in the face. It's always, we're so lucky to get so many full size bottles of all these fragrances, but it's always the ones that you really want that you get the little comp vial. But it's fine.
Yeah. Oh wait. Okay. Here they line out all the significant notes: saffron, jasmine absolute, orris butter, rose absolute. I can't say that word. Mahonial. Okay. Sandalwood oil, olibanum, olibanum, olibanum,
olibanum.
Sure. Oil. Myrrh resinoid, benzoin resinoid, vanilla absolute, and nervalinide. They're just making up words.
They are just making up.
I mean, I know that beauty and fragrance especially has the most advanced level pronunciation challenges. I think I realized that again recently when the fact, you know, like how everyone's talking about Ozempic. And then I was like, what? I looked it up because I was just like, what even is this? Like, how does it work? Yeah. And then they're like, it's a, and the word pronounced phonetically in my brain was semaglutide. S-E-M-A glutide.
Yeah.
And then I heard somebody say it on a podcast and it's semaglutide. I was like, what the heck? These syllables.
We gotta stop talking about Ozempic. It's not doing anyone any favors.
Ugh. No, yeah. But I just thought that was really funny. I was like, wow. Good thing I never said that out loud because I would sound so stupid. Good thing I don't have a podcast where I often mispronounce words.
It's not a pronunciation podcast. Yeah. That's the tagline.
Yeah. But
it's beautiful.
Yeah, but the smell was really great. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
It's funny. So I called this in a while back and they were like, yeah, like it's limited. If we can send it, we can send it. I'm like, okay, cool, fine. Never showed up until I did. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about it until then, but I gotta be, it is not the newest one from Imaginary Authors because they just brought back Bull's Blood, which was a huge, I think, customer favorite, but it is newer. It is called Blend Number 83 by Imaginary Authors. And I don't want to misspeak. I think it's a collaboration with Absolute Vodka and Kahlua.
Cool.
Because they say that's inspired by that, which yes, but they're
called
out.
Oh, wait, I saw that on their Instagram.
In it, yeah. And also the bottles are in this. I think this is, there's some collaboration in the works anyway. Wow. And I will say that to me, I can understand how one might think that this is corny, but it is the fragrance interpretation of an espresso martini.
See that on their
Which, Instagram. Like, I know we're off, fine, whatever. If you were drinking them in the first place, that's your problem, but damn, this fragrance is so good. It notes,
that sounds like it would be good.
Yeah. Like, I always talk about how I want more coffee fragrances, and this is, like, a really nice take on one. Notes are dark chocolate, sugarcane, rum, coffee, velvety foam, benzoin, night musk, and decadence. And
decadence.
It's just, like, immediately warm coffee, chocolate. There's, like, a smoky woodiness to it too that's pretty noticeable. It's really dark, but it's not heavy, but it is just absolutely delicious. I love it. This, and it's sort of, and this is not coincidental because this is a coffee scent as well, but it brings me pretty close to Intoxicated by Killian.
Ooh,
it's okay. That good. They're different, but it gets me there. And I have gone back to this one a lot since it showed up. I'm really in love with it. I wouldn't even hate if it was like a little heavier, honestly. Mm-hmm. This one is a little more translucent than I find a lot of Imaginary Author scents to be, and not in a bad way, but when I've applied it, I have sprayed a little more than I usually would, and you know that I am not an oversprayer, so I don't know. Speaking of overspraying, oh my God. There I was minding my own business with my phone sewn to my hand. And I was trolling through Instagram and I saw this TikTok. Did I send this to you?
Possibly.
It was.
I'm about to find out.
Yeah. It was this woman that was like, don't be afraid of overspraying. She was talking about how she does 16 to 18 sprays.
Holy moly.
Of every day at once. And she did it on camera. And I was like, that's unholy. And I think someone responded asking, don't you just burn through your fragrance so fast? Yeah. Like, that's a big investment to just burn through. And she did, she like decanted 16 sprays into a vial to show how much it was. And it was, I'm holding on this non-visual platform, like a sample vial.
A 2 milliliter sample vial.
It was like this much.
That's a lot. It's a whole sample
exactly.
vial.
Exactly. It was,
good gravy.
What am I trying to say? Yeah, it was liquid. It wasn't spray. Yeah. It was crazy.
Anyways, you just spilled a drink on yourself ostensibly. No.
And the one that she used as an example on her and in the vial was Dior Sauvage. I'm like, you're going to hell.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
What if she can't smell? What if she just like doesn't have a strong sense of smell?
Maybe.
Because
all you need is like one or two sprays of that one.
Dude, yeah. What? Ugh.
The reason she did that was, I think the question was like, how fast do you then go through it?
Yeah.
And if I'm remembering correctly, when she weighed it out, 16 to 18 sprays amounts to 1.5 mls. Mm-hmm. And then she did the math. And then it amounted to 60 or 70 days of that fragrance. And she's like, see, it is an investment. I'm like, no, it's not. I don't want to go through
but
a bottle
again,
of perfume
subjective.
In 2 months. Subjective.
Some people throw a shit ton of... Say, for instance, okay, I feel like I always think of the economy in terms of bags.
I simply don't think of the economy.
Mind you, I am not an economist and I'm very bad at math.
Yeah.
What bag is popular? What designer bag? Because there's always one. And like, it's the Balenciaga or like the Gucci or the Bottega Veneta's. And I'm like, okay, if a Bottega Veneta bag is like minimum $5,000 and that's what people are willing to spend on a purse,
mm-hmm.
money is fake. Money is fake. Because $5,000 bag? I might think differently if I was a millionaire, but I'm not. If that's what you need for whatever reason and you're like, I will find a way to get $5,000 to buy this bag plus tax, then that's just what money is to you.
So if
this woman thinks that, like, what? How much is a bottle of Sauvage?
I'll say like 160.
160 every 2 months. Okay.
I don't want to be doing that.
I personally couldn't be me.
Couldn't be.
But everyone spends their money differently.
I just can't imagine wearing that. That is a good question. Like, can she smell?
Yeah, I wonder, because a lot of people can't. And I realize this because as someone who often struggles with smell, I was like on another course of steroids at the beginning of this year because I immediately got sick after going out on New Year's Eve, of course. Mm-hmm. Mind-bogglingly, wasn't COVID.
Mm.
Said 5 COVID tests, including a PCR, whatever. But I don't know. My sinuses were like still a little wonky. So I did a short course of methylprednisone. And as soon as the first dose hits, my entire world reopens because I can smell. And that was the day I was walking around the city with Noah. We went to Scent Bar and I got the 2 little samples of the Gumamina scents.
Mm.
And then I sprayed a blotter with a BDK vanilla leather or leather vanilla.
What?
Because I wanted to smell it. And they have BDK there. And I just stuck the blotter in my purse. And then when I got home, emptied the contents of my bag, put the blotter on like my little coffee table, and my entire house smelled like that blotter.
Not a problem.
And even Noah was like, you can smell that little strip of paper across the room. And I was like, yeah, can't you? And he's like, no.
That's so funny.
I know. So I was like, wow, maybe I have a, when things are working, maybe my sense of smell is just particularly strong.
Maybe.
I don't know.
When things are working.
When things are working. Who knows?
I really like BDK.
I really like BDK. And I'm infuriated that they...
Yeah, remember when we asked them to be on the podcast and they told us to fuck off?
I'm okay. Like, no, who are you? I was like, that's fine. I respect that. But please stop sending me tiny vials. It's infuriating.
I am... the desperation in your voice. I'm holding the Gumamina vials, sample vials.
Yeah. They do the little stick vials with the little...
I'm just afraid that I'm going to shatter
those
this
bottles.
Glass vial.
I hate the little stick bottles. It's just not a good experience.
If it's a free sample, I'll take what
I can get. Yeah, Scent Bar changed it up. I think they used to be like 2 free samples per person. And then when I asked for these, they were like only 1 per person.
Here she goes.
And I was like aghast. But then I was with Noah. So they were like, okay, he can take
at that
other
point,
one.
Like, what does it fucking matter?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, who cares? But whatever. If you can't give me a sample, I'm not going to cry. It's fine. But at the same time, how do you people sell perfume?
I shouldn't be smelling these just like from the alcohol. The Odette is fruitier one, like the electric root. That I do.
I really like Odette. I like them both. I feel like Odette is a little bit more unique to what I've experienced personally.
Okay.
Odile is more like a classic leathery vanilla, I think.
Does it?
It's very much in the, I could tell, I could absolutely tell when I smell them who started which. Deal, which is the black swan.
Yeah.
Courtney from Universal Flowering started that one.
Okay.
And Odette, which is the white swan, Marissa's office started that one.
Yeah, I see
that. Yeah. So it's like very much in their universe of scents.
I have to say that was a really good episode.
I love that episode.
Yeah. I did too. It was just like such good vibes. Except I felt so bad that they were both so sick.
I know. Dude, everyone's sick now. Everyone has COVID, except for me, apparently.
I know.
Everyone has the flu. Go away. It's scary out there, guys. Just mouth breathers everywhere.
Honestly, I have an incredibly aggressive week at work coming up, and I'm seeing Madonna Monday night, and I think I might wear a mask.
Oh, you should absolutely wear a mask. Okay. Yeah.
Done.
I don't think I would go to a crowded, enclosed space for a long time without wearing a mask until things calm down.
Yeah, it's any... If it wasn't... my friend's coming in from Ireland, and we've had these tickets for like 8 fucking months, but...
Just, no, go. Just wear a mask. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. I got my booster this week.
I need to get my booster.
It like fucked me up a little. It was my first Moderna.
Mine didn't fuck me up.
I was a Pfizer girl through and through. Okay. And then my first Moderna, I was like, ooh, I'm down. I went to the Walgreens around the block. No one was there.
Yeah.
No one cares. No one's getting these vaccines anymore. No one cares. But you should.
Seriously. You should.
Why not? Just have a nice little sick day with your swole ass arm. I would rather have the side effects and get COVID though. Again.
I cannot be having COVID like that right now or ever.
Forever. Before we started recording, I was just venting to Titan where I was like, how come every time you go fragrance shopping, it's always such a fraught experience? I'm going to these places and I know how to talk fragrance.
Sure.
I know what things are. Not to say that I'm Ron Swanson, I know more than you, but like, don't talk down to me, please. Don't talk down to anybody.
General rule,
just don't talk down to people. Almost every fragrance retail experience I've had has been weird in one way or another, except with the exception of Diaz and Durga, because I'm friends with them. So I'll pop in and say hey, and everyone's very friendly.
Yeah, they're always cool.
They're always very friendly. And I've also seen them interact with customers too, and they're very hands-off. They'll give suggestions, or they'll be like present, but they won't be like following people around or just like over-explaining things.
It's always a really enjoyable experience.
It's an enjoyable experience.
And the stores are just so beautifully designed.
Yeah. Mostly what I realized is they talk to you like you're just like a person.
Yeah.
Which is what I want.
Yeah.
When I go to a store, not are you going to buy something or not? Yeah. I think that's like the vibe I get from so many fragrance stores, is they're like impatiently like, are you seriously shopping or should I just ignore you? And I'm like, you shouldn't ignore anybody who walks into your store.
Yeah.
And again, as a former shop girl, I also had a very bad attitude, but I only had a bad attitude when people were rude to me, which they often were. It happened a lot, but I'm trying to think what is a fragrance store in this great city of New York where the vibes are up.
I'd say Diaz and Durga.
They're
pretty cool at the New Byredo Williamsburg too.
Oh, that's true. You know, they're right.
I think the setup of that store is a little odd because there's nowhere to hide. You sort of walk into like,
you're just like in a stone atrium.
Yeah, like you're
in like the Hunger Games Coliseum.
It's beautiful and everyone there is like really nice and they leave you alone. But it's I feel trapped.
Yeah.
But no, I think fragrance shopping is inherently an uncomfortable experience.
But like, why?
Because either a lot of people don't have we've talked about this ad nauseum, but like the fragrance vocabulary, which is fine and normal. Why would you? It's hard to, a lot of people don't know what they like. They just know what they like when they smell it, and it's hard to walk up to 30 bottles and be like,
people can say I like things that are light or fresh or sweet.
Even that's hard though. It's okay to not know, but then it's also, I don't know, even people think that we're fragrance experts and we're not, but I can say I like this and this. That's almost just not even a conversation I want to have. Please, I don't want to talk about fragrance. I don't care that I have a fragrance podcast.
It is funny because I feel like of all the beauty retail, maybe not, but for like fragrance retail, like there's a very specific type of training people do to be able to talk about scents. But what's really funny is that I'm like, it doesn't matter that you can recite all of the notes of this. That's not going to translate to a person's perception of the scent.
Yeah.
It's Alaska's. No. But there's got to be a way to talk to people about fragrance in a store that's not just, this has notes of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And also, don't be mean to me.
I think that
what I really want to say is, please don't be mean to me.
Sable had a very triggering scent shopping experience this week, and we are unpacking it on Tell You Later, which is great.
The funniest part is we left the store, and then Noah was like, I feel like the vibes are weird in there. And I was like, okay, you noticed that too. Good. Yeah. And then he was like, I was thinking, don't they know who she is?
I told you this, and I will not name the retailer, but I also had a weirdly uncomfortable experience, an unnecessarily weird and uncomfortable experience at a local fragrance retailer when I went in with two of my friends, and they were visiting, and they come to New York to spend money. They shop. And so, you know, I don't know if, I don't think as a retail employee that you should treat anyone differently, whether they're looking to shop or not, especially when your store is empty. But the two of I was flitting around and they were like really actively shopping, and it was, I don't know, it was just odd.
Were they like ignoring them, or were they just doing that weird thing where they're like, do you need help?
First of all, we tried to go in and the door was locked.
Oh.
And then he unlocked it. I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were closed. And he was like, oh, we're not. And I'm like, okay, can we come in? Yeah. And then he like was acting like we were this mad inconvenience until he got wind that these two idiots were trying to buy some perfume. And then it warmed up. But I was like, I don't want to be like nice to me now.
Yeah, I don't want to see that transition.
No.
Don't change in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
If you're going to be sour, commit to it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to be a bitch, be a bitch.
Yeah. I remember when I used to work retail, so many people... First of all, like people who are shopping, a lot of times they're not looking for something specific. They're just killing time walking around. And if you just have a neutral, casual, friendly conversation with them, they're so much more open to buying stuff.
Yeah, like, totally.
It's not hard.
No, it's not.
But again, people are rude. It puts you in a sour mood. I say as somebody who is often in a sour mood, but at the same time, like, don't take it out on me.
I had a really pleasant experience at the Glossier store.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, you got the...
I got the eye cream.
The new eye cream or the original?
I think they pulled the original.
Good.
I couldn't be wrong. I could be definitely be wrong. But
the bubble wrap.
Yes. Okay. Which is such a good name. No, I got, I don't know what it's called, Full Orbit.
Is it a retinol?
I hope not, because that's going to... Okay. The one other retinol eye cream that I used gave me a 10-day burn.
I mean, they're all going to do that.
No, I know, but I don't think this is a retinol eye cream. I was just out and I was...
Yeah.
Spendy. Uh-huh. I was like, I must go to Glossier. And then the next fucking day, I've always... I started off like really hating Afterbalm until I started using retinol. Then now I love it. And I was like, I want them to make a big one. The next day they released a jumbo size. I was like, well, fuck me. Sorry. I don't know why I said that.
You're so invested in this.
I know. And I was like, the fact, and not to be an elitist editorial bitch about it, but I'm like, if I'm spending my hard earned money at Glossier, send me the goddamn product.
I'm still an eye cream truther. I've not met an eye cream that has done anything for me personally, but I guess when I consider what would be an eye concern for me, even though I never really think about this, is like when I smile, I get like little crow's feet.
But that's genetics.
I think that's just time.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Yeah. I can't stop it. And I don't think any type of topical cream is going to do anything about it. And I don't care that much.
I'm with you. I always use eye cream. Do I believe that they do anything? Probably not. I do like them for makeup prep. I've only truthfully, and I've used a billion, I've really only truthfully seen results from one out of the million I've used. The fucking, and this is so cringe, the one from Kiehl's that's made for men, in the black jar.
Okay.
It's fast forward, like super blast off something. God. It's really dense. And I think it just has a shit ton of caffeine in it. And it really does.
Yes. It like tightens.
It tightens. And I think it's like it increases blood flow. So you get less darkness. There's a lot that eye cream, like you said, can't do. It's not going to give you Botox. It's not going to erase all your lines. But it can help with darkness and circulation, blah, blah, blah.
I
and
feel
it
like the
really
most
does.
It can do is with like puffiness and maybe a little bit of darkness.
Exactly.
There's that like House of Joseon, that K-beauty brand.
Yeah.
Like, apparently their freaking eye cream's going viral now.
Oh, really?
And even then... As an eye cream truther, I'm like getting these TikTok ads and I'm like, do I need this? And I'm like, sabled out.
Is that how you say it, Joseon?
That's how I've heard it said.
Okay. So, I use their SPF.
That's like another thing it's that's
really,
like...
That one...
But people I know and trust have also said that is a great sunscreen.
It's good.
So I will believe that.
It's worth every bit of hype it gets. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. But the only eye cream that's done anything for me was like... I discovered it in like the Exo Vein days in like 2013. It was like that one vegan... early days clean brand called 100% Pure.
Oh god, yeah.
And they had it was like green tea coffee bean eye cream.
I remember that.
And that shit actually, I could see it happening in real time, the depuffening, because it just had a bunch of caffeine in
Didn't it.
It
smelled like, kind of good too.
I don't remember what it smelled like, but I do remember that because everything was like, no preservatives, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. the expiration date was like 6 months after opening. That's, and I was so like, funny. I don't like that.
Yeah. No, I remember that icon specifically.
But that was like, I think that at the time was like also really popular because it actually worked.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is so XOJane, XOVane coded.
I don't even know if that brand's still around.
I think I was in touch with them recently. Use that pretty loosely.
I think I remember, like, the last I remember hearing about them was like as recently as 2018.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, they're still around.
Them.
Good for them. For everyone who wants to use fruit pigment as makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Well.
We are constantly trying to find new and interesting guests outside the realm even of fragrance, fine fragrance. I've been trying to nail down a pheromones expert, but we're looking for, anyway, if you have an interesting guest in mind who's not necessarily fragrance-based.
But don't clown us either.
Don't clown us
either. Some of you get pretty generous. And I say that with love. We need to get a regulator on here.
A regulator?
Yeah.
An evaluator.
Whatever.
Okay. Like a moderator.
We do need a moderator.
In the meantime, you can find us at smellyoulater.live, where you can find our cozy merch. You can please leave us a voice note at the Smell You Later hotline. You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.